Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 24th of February, recording at 5:05 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review of the week. Stock markets more steady than otherwise, notably some firming in Japan and Korea, my two favorite developed country markets for the long-term Asian developed country markets, at least, for the very long term. And elsewhere, well, let's say European indices, number of new highs in here this week, so still extending those uptrends. Wall Street, mostly sideways, but near the higher side of ranges. And US dollar ranging, but reasonably steadily, although the yen has improved following that announcement from the BOJ that came out yesterday morning. Announcement that they were moving away from their zero interest rate policy before too long. And in metals, mostly ranging here, but some firming, particularly in here today. Gold up at over 558 on the spot bullion. That's up over $9 in here today. And oil prices, some recovery following 4 or 5 weeks of fairly persistent weakness, and particularly today with crude up $2 at $62.55. That's the NYMEX sweet crude, and helped today by the fact that there was a suicide bombing outside one of the key Saudi oil installations, and just reminding people of how vulnerable perhaps some of these installations are to attacks, although you can bet that one's pretty heavily guarded. Okay, so where do we actually stand? Well, I've been saying it over and over again, so I'll do so briefly, that we're coming up 3 years on the global stock market rally that started in March 2003. That's very long in tooth for a stock market move without a medium-term correction, which I would define as sort of a 3 to 6 month reaction. We have had several little reactions of 3 or 4 weeks, but nothing that would qualify as a medium-term correction. And I think that risk is increasing due to rising short-term interest rates in a number of countries led by the United States. I think it's also due to a gravity factor, since markets have been awfully strong. It's been a wonderful run. There is that factor of the U.S. election cycle, second year, it's 2006, in this case being the least bullish historically. And there are other concerns, but some of the things that had worried me, for instance, the oil price, although that's up strongly in here today, it's not threatening the Katrina highs. That could change quickly if something goes wrong. But there's a fair amount of oil sloshing around in the system, not to mention natural gas at this stage. So that's not a headwind at the moment. And also, I've expressed some concern over long-term interest rates moving up. They are doing so in Japan right now, but from such a low base that's not a headwind. Whereas if we were to see a base completion for the yields in, for instance, U.S. 10-year government bonds and bunds and gilts, then that would certainly create a headwind, but that hasn't happened. I think it will happen eventually, but that's not a factor in here. So against that background, I wouldn't be at all surprised if markets didn't go through a fairly lengthy topping process in here over the next few months before we see a correction. And that's, of course, if we see a correction at all. Now, I think we will. I haven't changed my mind on that one iota, but of course, that view is pure conjecture. And there are many people who will disagree on this, and there's scope for intelligent analytical opinion to agree on this as much as almost any other point, and many people do. And therefore, if I look at why might those views that I've expressed not be right, well, for instance, maybe the oil price does not flare up. Maybe the bonds remain generally steady. Maybe the US interest rate cycle comes to an end sooner rather than later. But most of all, the big factor here would be global liquidity, which is still sloshing around the system at a great rate. Now, on the other hand, what I have mentioned before is that we could have a cascade effect where if investors take fright for whatever reason, whether it's an event or whether it's the interest rates or whether it's gravity or whether it's oil, or something that we can't, or I can't at any rate, put my finger on here today, then we could get, say, if you change sentiment from this quite bullish environment that we have seen in so many markets, then you could get a temporary flight to cash, which could cause a cascade effect. Another factor that I should mention would be, for instance, weakness in the dollar, particularly against the yen, or the yen strengthening for some reason. Now, we don't base a policy on trying to guess all the things that could go wrong in the world, and then having another list of all the things that could go right in the world. But I'll just sum it up by saying that I feel that the risks are higher in this environment than probably at any time since the last or than the, since or since the last 3 years, or during the last 3 years. Now, I'm not saying that risk is very big right in here today. I've said I wouldn't be at all surprised, and as a matter of fact, I expect markets to sort of range around, and some of them, the strong ones, go a little bit higher in here over the next few weeks before we get into trouble, if we get into trouble at all. So I think that's pretty well the summary. But what can we actually expect and look forward to? First, I think that if we do get that correction, it would create an outstanding buying opportunity, perhaps in the fourth quarter, and that good buying opportunity, investment opportunity, could last right on through 2008. I won't look beyond that at this stage. So, I'm hardly talking about the end of the world here, and I'm very unlikely to disturb my major investment positions, and I regret yet again that I've put on some hedges against those long positions, albeit asymmetrical hedges. Now, in terms of the big themes, we've seen lots of people saying, and not for the first time, that they feel that the mining shares and mining metal prices and so on are in a bubble. I posted a good article on this in here today by Maren Somerset Webb from the Sunday Times, debunking that theory. And this all goes back to the old cyclical versus secular argument. Mining is a cyclical industry. I'm hard pressed to think of an industry that doesn't have some cyclicality to it. You might list foods, perhaps some of the utilities, but so mining is a fairly highly cyclical industry. And I have said recently that I think some of the metal prices are overextended, and that we could see fairly lengthy medium-term corrections. Fairly lengthy medium-term correction is anything up to a couple of years, although the latter is fairly rare, and a few go over that time period. But I have said that we have this extraordinary situation of supply and elasticity. The inability to increase production rapidly, in other words, is up against unprecedented global demand. And while there have been times in the past, mainly during wars, when there's been a sudden surge in demand for metals, it hasn't really lasted all that long, 2, 3, 4 years at most. I see the infrastructure demand for industrial metals coming from China, India, parts of the Middle East, and elsewhere, because the rest of the world isn't stopping their consumption of these metals. I can see that running for decades. So I think this is a huge theme, and I think it takes a bit of vision here. That may be an arrogant comment. I don't mean it to be, but I think people are tend to be focused entirely on those cyclical swings that they've seen in the past, particularly during what was a long 21-year bear market in commodities. Now, commodities are prone to very long super cycles or very long secular trends, and having completed over 2 decades of a quite bearish trend, I think that we are now set not just in terms of mean reversion for at least a couple of decades, and I think it'll be considerably more than that on the upside. But again, the situations in China and India, as I've already said, and some of the other developing countries coming up behind them, are unique in human history in terms of that much demand, particularly coming from the infrastructure development, the urbanization, and so on. So I think this is really going to run and run and run. Now, that doesn't mean that we chase these shares upwards or the metal prices. And metal mining companies have risks of their own, which I've reviewed again today in the comment of the day. But it does make it a very, very attractive sector. And then I look at the valuations, and I've commented on those today as well. And, how can people be talking about a bubble when we have these mining companies, some of the core ones, such as my Rio, the BHP, Billiton, the Inco, selling at current multiples in the 11 to 13 range. And when estimates or future earnings estimates are even lower in some instances, and yet metal prices are still higher despite evidence of a correction, and then well above the metal price is still well above the average forecasts by analysts for 2006. So I think this is a very, very attractive theme, and those three companies that I just mentioned have some near monopoly control over some of these metals: Rio and Billiton with iron ore, Inco with nickel, at least in the developed world. The other, well, everywhere outside of Russia, Nordelsk is the other big nickel producer in Russia. So again, I made the point, I like this theme. And then the emerging markets, that's an extremely attractive one, I think, for this cycle. For safety, I prefer the Asian emerging markets. I think it's a more durable story, the more interesting story. It would always be the best performer. For instance, the Middle Eastern markets have been the best performers over the last 3 years. But those certainly do have some bubble characteristics in terms of valuations, whereas the Asian valuations are cheap. One of my best performers overall, particularly as I came out of a good chunk of it at the beginning of 2004, but has been the is Thailand, the Aberdeen New Thai Fund. And that is in the latter stages. Well, that's already completed a vast consolidation, and I think the Thai market itself is near the end of its consolidation. Aberdeen's already completed the consolidation, evidenced by the chart action, because of the very good management of that fund and a narrowing of the discount to NAV. But here's Thailand selling at 10.5 times earnings on the SET index and yielding 3.58%. I mean, that's exceptional value when you compare it to Wall Street and a whole lot of other markets around the world. And I think the growth prospects are improving. I would expect Thailand to grow faster than the US market, for instance, which is selling at 17 or 18 times earnings. So again, I like this Asian emerging market story. India remains my favorite market for the very, very long term, but on 17, 18 times earnings, it's the most expensive developed country market in Asia right now. But I'm not going to sell it because I do think it's an exceptional story for reasons that I've mentioned repeatedly previously. Japan, I've already mentioned Japan and South Korea, my favorite stock markets for the very long term. They are in medium-term consolidations right now, but weakness is a buying opportunity. And incidentally, they have steadied up recently. I want to repeat that point. We may well see tests of the highs here in the short term and perhaps extending those highs a little bit. I think there are other. Well, I know there are other interesting emerging market areas. Eastern Europe, I actually prefer that to Western Europe, although the Eastern European markets, a number of them are off the boil here right now after fabulous performances. I wouldn't be putting money into these areas here in the short term. I would be looking for pullbacks, although someone buying Thailand at these levels, I do not feel is taking a great risk, but I wouldn't be buying the Eastern European stock markets at these levels. I do feel, and I have said, this is a time for a bit of caution in here. Among favorite developed country markets, Australia has to be high on the list, Canada high on the list, not least because of the resources plays, but they've had a wonderful run, so I would be hoping for a better buying opportunity during a correction. Among the Central and South American markets, I would have reasonably conservative choices. I'd go for Mexico and Brazil. That Brazilian real has been a bit too strong for the benefit of the country here recently. But since no country likes strong currency for very long, they're likely to engineer a weaker real before too long. That would be my guess at any rate. I've got no inside information on that. Moving on to government bonds, I think JGBs are a short, particularly on any rally. And I think the shorter term contracts are also a short. I mentioned that yesterday. I mentioned it before, earlier on in the cycle. And I think that the move that we see there, assuming the JGBs extend this breakout in yields and this decline, in other words, in the prices, that will be forewarning of a similar move to eventually follow in the other developed country long-dated government bond markets. That may be delayed if we do get some economic slowdown in the in the US. Now, but I'm only really interested in playing the government bond markets on the short side, preferably after we see technical rallies that then tire. And I do maintain that a secular bear market is underway. It won't be linear. It will be a series of rolling waves. In other words, I think that when yields move up, they will tend to push up above previous highs that we've seen in the last few years, and when they come off, that they'll bottom above previous reaction lows. So it'll be backing and filling type of long-term trend. And I think we're near the base completion. We're already seeing the base completion for the JGBs, I would argue, in terms of yields. Okay, moving on to currencies. I've made the point that no country wants a strong currency these days, not least because of the global competitive pressures caused by globalization. Now, the big story last year was the dollar's rally. Dollar's still reasonably firm, although I think it peaked in November, and I suspect it's on its way back down, but we won't really see it become more vulnerable to US interest rates are declining somewhat. And we have yet to see a peak in US short-term interest rates. We will get some sporadic moves in the currency markets from time to time. A country will judge that the inflationary pressures create more of a risk to economic stability than a small appreciation in their currency, and so they'll allow the currency to appreciate. I think that applies to the Singapore dollar in here right now, and other Asian currencies are candidates. But overall, I think we will see managed exchange rates, and that means that we won't get that many big moves, or I'll put it this way, they'll be the exception rather than the rule. So I think it's a less than exciting area. However, I do feel that the monetization of gold in the eyes of investors is a process that has advanced considerably since September last year, when we had the breakouts on the upside against a number of different currencies. I think we've got over 30 charts depicting this in the library. So you really ought to have a look if you feel you're being bombarded with opposing views, let alone bubble comments from people regarding gold. Just have a look in the library at that ratios section, which will also show gold against all those different currencies. Yes, it's advanced very strongly, particularly since September of last year, but the point is, it hasn't topped out. It's still pretty steady overall, in addition to its steady action in here today. I wouldn't be surprised if gold doesn't consolidate along with the other metals for a while longer, but I maintain that bullion's a buy when you see reactions of $30 to $50, and I don't think we'll see a whole lot more than that very often, at least not without some pretty powerful prior acceleration on the upside. And accordingly, I would treat silver the same way as a buy on reactions. I'm quite light in my precious metal, very light, as a matter of fact, in my precious metals at this stage, just because I have been a bit concerned about that cascade effect. And I've also been taking a little bit of a risk from some of the quite aggressive trading that I have done in or active trading, I should say, over the last 3 years. I don't want to risk all that much capital in here in this environment right now. So I have scaled back there, but in terms of a secular play, I think it's still extremely attractive, as is a secular play in the industrial metals that I have mentioned. The one speculative trade that I do have a substantial position now, and I shouldn't really, or I should have timed it far better, is the one in natural gas, which is nestled back down into its base formation. That may require some real patience on my part and that of long-suffering investors who may have tracked that, subscribers who may have tracked that position that I have taken. But I think the message has been clear that when industrial commodities and precious metals, when they get sharp pullbacks, particularly when they nestle down in near base formations, that they don't stay there all that long, and that the next big move is on the upside. But I, again, as a client wisely said a number of months ago, that natural gas was a hairy trade, and I think it remains so, and we have a supply overhang. So yes, the base is there, but my fear is that it may take time, or it'll probably require something to frighten the shorts, or to cause concerns over supply to enable that market to spike upwards here in the near term. I'm a patient guy. I can wait for a recovery in that and fully intend to. Just wish I hadn't bought halfway down the reaction rather than holding off for the whole way. But such is life. In here. Now, what else to mention? I think that's pretty much it, except in the energy field, I really do like that Investec Global Energy play. It's also the Guinness Atkinson in the US. I mentioned that so many times, but that's the one that I own. I have such respect for the manager, Timothy Guinness, and I think it's such a great long-term theme, and it's not overextended in here today with oil in the consolidation phase, although I don't expect any dramatic performance here over the next few months. And if it gets dragged down in the global correction that I suspect we're going to see generally, then that would create another buying opportunity that I would almost certainly take advantage of. Well, I'm going to watch a little bit of rugby over the weekend and have other relaxing things on the schedule, and hopefully some decent exercise. And I wish the same for you, or whatever your pain or pleasure, a splendid a splendid weekend, nevertheless. All the best.